Hi, Adam.
Hey Mitch, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good, man. Thank you for taking the time to answer questions for the millionth time, but for my first time from me, I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I have a bunch of firsts that goes back with the Counting Crows. They were the first band that I ever lined up to buy a ticket for a gig. They were the first band I've ever bought the album three times for August and everything. The first was CD, then vinyl, and then I saw the Super Duper from the original Masters version of the vinyl, so I had to have that.
You have to.
And I'm not proud of this, but it's the first time I've ever gone to a concert, seen the support band, and then left when you toured, and this is going to sound sacrilegious, with The Who.
I knew it was the Who because I think that's the only tour we've ever done opening in Australia. But we did three tours with the Who, and I did it solely because it was free tickets to the Who every night. I saw like 30 or 40 Who shows over the course because we did one tour and then they asked us back, and then we did another tour with them and they asked us back, and then they asked us to go to Australia with them, and it was like, absolutely, it's more free Who tickets plus a trip to Australia. I'm in.
Unreal. And this is the first for you guys, the first time you've ever gone, you know what? I've got enough songs for an EP. I'm going to put these out. We'll do part two later.
Well, it was intended always to be this. Like I wanted to write a I got really excited about the idea of writing a suite of songs. I just really wanted to do that. I hadn't really wanted to make a record in a while. This was the first time I really wanted to make one. I was really excited about it.
It's been a while in between, you know, it's been a minute between music. So why was that break? Why did you want to step away from it?
I think I just got a little burnout on it. Yeah, I think that's sort of what it was. Getting back into it, I don't know. I was hanging out with some friends in London and they were making their record, and I got kind of. They're Australian, actually. Do you know the band Gang of Youths?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, David Leopepe is one of my best friends, and I had been spending time with him, and I was in the studio with them, and I sang a bunch on their record. And so I think I got kind of caught up in, like, I'd gone to see them play, and they were so good, and I just kind of got me wanting to do records again.
They live in England now, don't they?
They do, they live
That's
in
their
London.
base.
Yeah.
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 And we get to hear their first song real soon. It's a couple of weeks away from being released here in Australia, so we're very excited.
Yeah, I'm going back over in a month and I think I get to sing on
Yeah,
some more
nice.
stuff. So, yeah.
So you're just about ready to do part two of the EP?
That's what I'm doing. I've been writing little bits of it and I'm going to finish it when I get back to England again. I want to finish the songs on the farm just like all the ones for this record. So I'm going to leave in about 2 weeks. I got to wait till all my stuff's done on the record, all my, major commitments like this, and then I'm going to go to England and spend a month on a farm.
The thing that comes through the headphones when you excitedly listen to But a Miracle Sweet One for the first time is the textures and the stories and the sounds. This sounds like it could be a movie or done at a theater with big visuals in the background with the band narrating through the visuals that you see. It's very cinematic.
Yeah, I think something about the continuous nature of it, the fact that the music doesn't ever stop, it sweeps you up like the way a film does.
And when did you realize that you had more than a small collection of songs here, that one did lend itself to going straight into the next and it wasn't all part of one song?
Well, as I wrote them, I mean, I wrote the first song and it was the next day and I was playing it back to myself, the song Tall Grass, the Tall Grass, and I was kind of vamping on the ending, just sort of enjoying stretching out the ending. And I changed the chords and I sang Bobby was a kid from around the town. And I thought, oh, well, maybe this is a long song like Palisades Park and there's more to it. And then I thought, oh no, I think that's a whole different song. And then my immediate thought was, well, what if I wrote a series of songs where the end of one is the beginning of the other? I didn't have any of the songs and then link them together. I decided to do this. And then I wrote each song so that it would go into the next one. It was very intentional.
I love the stark feelings I got when hearing the acoustic start things off for the Tall Grass. And but you have these really stark words about the rabbit's life gone, but still twitching. And there's a line, and I'm paraphrasing, about sometimes you're broken when you're a child.
Right.
And all this said against something so sparse just makes those words jump out so much. And I remember, you know, going off on this adventure, and then you get to meet Bobby in elevator boots, and then he pops back up in the last song with the Rat Kings. And to me, Bobby sounds like a guy that you could be talking to at the New Amsterdam while staring at a yellow-haired girl.
Well, I think, you know, a big part of this record is me rediscovering my love of music and my love of, you know, and I think that those two songs, Bobby and the Rat Kings and Elevator Boots, they're kind of companion pieces. And they look at music from two different ways, you know, because we all, you know, we love music. It's our refuge, our solace. It's a big part of us. But in my case, I also play music. And I think that, like, Elevator Boots looks at music from the perspective of a musician, that part of my life. Bobby and the Rat Kings looks at it from the perspective of a fan and how, like, the music provides all the touchstones, the soundtrack to this guy's memories, you know, and all of his life, and the way it does for me. So I think those two really are kind of looking at this thing that has been the central thing in my whole life, you know, music.
Yeah, and you can tell that you're a lifelong fan of music by the stunning collection of rock t-shirts that you sport on stage. You've got a wardrobe and a half.
I got a lot of band t-shirts, a lot of them. It's Funkadelic today.
I'm
Funkadelic
wearing one
t-shirt today.
Yeah, right. I got one of my favorite Stones t-shirts on today.
Nice.
And when you started out with the Counting Crows and things were taken off, you got the chance to support the Rolling Stones, who at that stage in their career were the band that had the heritage of 30 years and were touring. How does it feel to look back and go, wow, that amount of time has passed for my band?
You know, it's a really weird thing because while you're in it, it just seems like a series of days. So it doesn't really, you don't really measure the time because you're involved in being present each day. But I remember that really vividly. You know, we opened for the Stones on my 30th birthday. Our first gig with the Stones was August 1st, 94 at RFK Stadium. And it was my 30th birthday. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm 30 years old. Stones have been around about 30 years. I think they got together in 61. So it was like 32 years, 33 years at that point. And I remember thinking, wow, this is our first album. And they've already been doing this for 30 years. That's crazy. What would that be like? You know, and I don't have any real way to respond to that except that now it's us. And we're nowhere near as big as the Stones, obviously. And we've never been as successful as they were. But, I mean, it's 30 years later. We're still here. People are still playing new songs of ours on the radio. Elevator Boots is a hit here right now. So we have things in common, which is nothing I ever expected. You know, like,
yeah.
But it's what you hope for. I mean, nobody joins a band hoping to have like a good year. You want to have a career that lasts your life. So you're expecting 30 years, even if it's silly, because it's never going to happen. But here we are, and it's happened. I think that's incredible. I don't know what to make of it.
And a real nod to the relationship you have with your band members to have most of you come through all that time together. It's incredible.
I'm a great band leader. Seriously, great.
Why are you a great band leader? What would your other band members say?
Oh, probably that, because how else could we possibly find ourselves in a band together 30 years later?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes... I think because that's been the main focus of my thing in the band. I really wanted to make it... I wanted everybody... I wanted to be in a band. I never wanted to be a solo artist. The thought does not appeal to me at all. And so I think I always made that a priority. I made them a priority because... You know, it doesn't matter how good you are if it's not, if the other guys can't afford to stay in the band or there's things to be jealous of. Also, I've been so publicly miserable so much of the time, no one would be jealous of that. It would just be ridiculous.
You know? It's a fair trade.
Yeah.
Hey, I've heard a great analogy about releasing new music, and I wondered what you'd think of this. It's like leaving a voice message on a hot girl's message bank.
No, it's more like... You tried to leave a message for a hot girl and the whole school accidentally got it. It's definitely more like about everybody than the specific person. Writing a song is about leaving a message for a hot girl, but
sure.
But putting out a record is not. That's the problem. It's for everybody.
Is there still some sort of nervous anticipation of how new music will be received?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, because that's the problem. Like when you make it, it's just you and six or seven of your best friends. And you make this thing, it's very personal, and it's all, the only people involved are you guys. Then when you put it out, there's a record company, there's managers, and then there's the whole world. What you get back, and you know, for me, my records are all perfect. They're everything I want them to be. I love them so much. but not everyone's going to see them that way. You know, and so you're going to get back stuff that's good, and you're going to get back stuff that's horrible. You're going to get back apathy and dismissal sometimes. There's just so much else that comes back that's not, you know, it's not as perfect an experience as just making it.
And how does that not change you when you react to the first time where, because a phenomenal debut, and then along the way, different sounds, you've never made the same record twice. Is there a point where you had to stop yourself from responding to feedback to stay true to what you want to do?
Oh, no, because, I mean, it's just a separate thing. You're going to respond to all the feedback because it's impossible to avoid it. You're going to have feelings involved with people loving it and hating it, but that has nothing to do with making records. When you go to make a record, you forget all about that. You can't think about, there's no point, because it's not going to really help you to know what everybody liked last time, because they're not going to like it this time anyways. Yeah. The world moves on. You might as well just do what you did the first time, which is make the music you want to make, make it as good as you can make it, do whatever you're interested in, and hopefully people will respond again. Because chasing your tail, you could chase your tail trying to find repeat success or do what somebody else did. Nobody has any proof any of that works anyways. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I love that if you get the limited edition vinyl, you finally get 28 years later, the title track to August and Everything After.
Yeah.
Is it version that you premiered for us on your podcast?
Yeah, it's it's a song I wrote before our first album, but I never thought it was very good and it was too long. And then we got a chance to do it with an orchestra about 15 years later, which we did again about 5 years ago now. And I rewrote it for that and kind of got rid of the parts that were weaknesses. And Vince Mendoza wrote a great composition orchestra accompaniment to it. It's fantastic. He re-envisioned the song for drums, bass, pedal steel, and me, along with 50 other musicians in an orchestra. It's a London studio orchestra. And I really think it's great. It was a chance to revisit and rework something that I had started a long time ago and kind of thrown away because I never thought it was good enough, and make it good enough. It's really cool.
Wow. All this time later, to see those lyrics over the cover of the debut album, to get to hear the full song in a way you're happy with, is a real pleasure. And you mentioned live and reinvention, which is where it's the most special place for a fan to see the band, because of the way you'll do songs and keep them interesting and bring them back and give them a new life. There is so much that I want to talk about. 15 minutes goes so quickly. I'm getting wound up and I have to respect everyone that comes after. But thank you for doing this promotion. And I hope that I can steal some more time from you when the second EP is out, if you'll do some stuff for Australia. And I'd love to go back and talk a whole lot more to you. Adam, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. I mean, we're coming back as soon as we can, because that was my big complaint. Like about a week and a half ago, I said, hey, this is great. We're getting so much press. Where's Australia? We want to go back. We need to get back.
And is it a matter of, because they're talking about once you get the COVID jab and they're thinking about a passport system so that people don't have to quarantine for 2 weeks when they get here, because I understand why a band, it's not going to be worth their time to have to sit in a hotel for 2 weeks, do some shows, go and sit in a hotel for another 2 weeks when they get to the next country. So we are so looking forward to you guys coming down when you can.
We are too. We've all gotten vaccinated. And we just, as soon as it's safe in all the countries for people to come to the shows, I'm not really worried about us. We'll be fine. We're vaccinated. As soon as it's safe for people to come to shows, we're coming. We cannot.
Unreal.
I mean, for the band, it's just a priority.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me gush like a fangirl. It's an absolute pleasure. Look forward to the next chat and for the tour. Thank you.
And you're going to flip out the new Gang of Youths. Yeah. It's so good.
I can't wait. And I didn't know you're on that. So that's going to be very interesting because when you say
I don't know
that,
if I'm on this song, but you're going to love whatever they do. It's so good.
Yeah, cool. Well, I really look forward to it. Thanks for the tease. And thank you to Daryl behind the scenes for making this happen.